This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about nuclear experiments. When it comes to cleaning up radioactive material, the million-dollar question is always where to put it. That is true when it comes to waste from nuclear power plants. Across the U.S., 92 nuclear reactors power millions of homes, and these reactors produce waste in the form of spent nuclear fuel, which is still radioactive. Right now, the U.S. stores this spent fuel in giant concrete cylinders next to power stations. But that is not a long-term solution. Alan Yu reports.
Right now, spent nuclear fuel in the U.S. goes into big cylinders. They are more than 10 feet tall, with layers of concrete and stainless steel several inches thick. I went to a factory on the banks of the Delaware River in New Jersey. There, the company Holtec International makes these containers for nuclear power plants in the U.S. and all around the world. The very first thing that nuclear engineer and chief commercial officer Joy Russell told me is that the spent nuclear fuel is solid and not neon green liquid, like you might have seen on TV.
So I actually have not watched The Simpsons, but I understand that a lot of this explanation that you have to give is because of The Simpsons.
That is correct. It's unfortunate that the perception of what nuclear waste looks like is from The Simpsons. Indeed, that's completely false. Spent nuclear fuel is a solid ceramic encased in sealed tubes.
The second thing she made very clear is that the concrete cylinders that hold the spent nuclear fuel, they call them overpacks, these things are safe and are designed to keep the radiation away from people and the environment.
We have modeled a 767 aircraft and also an F-16 aircraft crashing into an array of the overpacks. And there is no release of radioactive material in even under an event of such force.
They tested this at a U.S. Army site. They shot a missile into one of their containers at 600 miles per hour. The container did not crack. The factory is huge, about the size of 8 football fields. I went inside to see how they make these missile and airplane-proof containers that have held spent nuclear fuel in the U.S. and around the world for decades. The factory is on a single floor, like a giant airplane hangar, with cranes overhead that can lift hundreds of tons. A siren goes off when one of these heavy objects is in the air. I walked past people welding and handling steel cylinders and lids that make up the containers. Alan Hickman, the Vice President of Manufacturing and Supply Chain, was my guide.
This is a lid for one of our dry storage components. This is 9 3/4 inch thick solid stainless steel.
At one end of the factory, he shows me a room that looks like it's big enough to hold a car. This is where the finished containers go through an X-ray to check for internal defects.
This will go inside the X-ray booth, and this will automatically take a picture every 12 inches, almost the same way as going to a dentist.
The containers look solid, and they are made to withstand all kinds of pressures. But some experts are worried that nothing is strong enough to withstand the test of time.
Eventually, they will begin to leak. Welds do break down over time.
Geologist Allison McFarlane used to chair the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Now she is director of the School of Public Policy and Global Affairs at the University of British Columbia in Canada.
We suspect they'll last for decades. We don't know how many decades. We don't think they'll last for hundreds of years. So this is not a long-term solution.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission licenses these concrete cylinders for up to 40 years. The manufacturer, Holtec, says they can last longer than that. But Allison says physics is not going to change. There is no designing our way out of this nuclear waste issue.
People have thought of a variety of crazy schemes for dealing with nuclear waste, things like shooting it into outer space or whatnot, but we aren't very good at getting rockets up without them blowing up. And so we don't want to strew all this material around our atmosphere.
The best plan that scientists have come up with is to make what is called a deep geologic repository.
Putting this material deep, and by deep, I mean 400 to 500 meters below the surface of the Earth, down so that it's away from humans and the environment for many, many millennia, because this material will remain radioactive for hundreds of thousands and millions of years.
Ideally, this geologic repository would be far from any earthquakes, volcanoes, or moving water. The layers of steel and concrete and rock and soil will contain the radiation.
We are blessed with an enormous country, and there are plenty of locations that would be very adequate. That's not what should worry us. Okay, what should worry us, and what has been the sticking point up to now, is the societal political piece of things.
As you may imagine, states are not clamoring to be the home of a giant underground hole for nuclear waste. The US government has known about this need to find a safe repository for nuclear waste for decades, but it has been slow to act. And money does not seem to be the obstacle in this case. For years, companies that run nuclear power plants paid the government a fee specifically to cover the cost of a long-term waste repository. But the US government later treated it like tax revenue and used the money to pay for other things. Congress passed a law in 1987, put decades of work and billions of dollars to set up Yucca Mountain, Nevada, to become a geologic repository. That did not go over well with people in Nevada. And importantly, it did not go over well with representatives of Nevada in Congress.
Known in Nevada as the Screw Nevada Bill.
We call that the Screw Nevada Bill.
In the 30 years since Congress passed the Screw Nevada Bill,
the effort stopped in 2009. Rod Ewing has talked to people in Congress about this issue for years. He's a professor of geological sciences at Stanford University, and he used to chair the Nuclear Waste Technical Review Board under President Obama.
What I discovered is, in going into a briefing, it would be common for someone to say, well, thanks for all this work, but how is this going to impact my budget? I don't want to read the whole thing, but could you just put yellow tabs where this idea is going to impact my budget, or a criticism that might end up in the newspapers and prove to be embarrassing?
Rod and geologist Allison McFarlane wrote an op-ed recently pointing out the U.S. has 88,000 metric tons of spent fuel in nuclear power plants in around 30 states, and adds 2,000 tons each year. They also point out the U.S. cannot avoid this problem even if power companies have more advanced, smaller reactors. The U.S. is struggling to set up a geologic repository, but other countries have succeeded. Sweden picked a site for theirs last year. Nuclear power is a major source of electricity there. Saida Engström worked for a Swedish company that has only one job: manage nuclear waste. She says finding a site was not easy. It took more than 20 years.
I had some bad days when I had people shouting at my face, 4 centimeters from my face, and when I had to go to debates and people would say half-truths and or whole lies.
She says it ultimately worked out because of three things. Sweden has a dedicated organization dealing with nuclear waste. They get specific government funding. They only consider places that wanted to have a geologic repository, and these places could back out at any time.
And we just had the polls for the municipality of Östhammar, where the final repository will be constructed very soon, and the encapsulation facility in Oskarshamn, another municipality. And it was around 86% that feel comfortable and safe and welcome the facilities to be constructed.
For years, she and her team went around the country. They held meetings, big and small.
We had meetings in the kitchens of people, in the parish house, in schools, and we explained to them what the project is about and all that.
She says ultimately she would explain it like this.
If we do not find a place for this waste on the long term, we cannot do anything with it. We cannot export it. It will stay for our children and grandchildren.
She says at that point, usually a room full of people goes completely silent. And then the discussion begins. In the US, a long-term solution or location has not yet come into view. So for now, the nuclear waste will await its final destination in those thick concrete barrels.
That story was reported by Alan Yu.